back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I want to talk about elder care. You know, I want to talk about the people, who work in the nursing homes and the rehabilitation centers. And right now I have a brother who is recovering from a stroke. And as I have been going, you know, back and forth over the last few years to these places, and even going back to even a couple years before that when my dad was in the nursing home. And you know, the one thing for certain when we age is you're going to deal with a whole different aspect of life as you watch the people you love, as the evil consequences of time start to envelop them as well as all of us. And then you find yourself in places like this. And you do know that even though you're there to see others, this is where you'll be soon. In the twinkling of an eye, the loved ones that you are seeing and going to watch, that's going to be you. If you're fortunate enough that, you know, that you live long enough. But in this society, why is it that we won't pay a livable wage to people who do these services? That's not Democrat or Republican. That's just common sense. Many of these facilities do not have the manpower that they need to service the human beings that are there. We're warehousing people, and we do a better job of warehousing animals than we do people. And the response can't be, well, you know, the businesses can't afford the people, or nobody wants to work. Well, you're right. It's a difficult, difficult job to take care of a human being who's not capable of taking care of themselves. Their body functions still continue. And so it takes special people to do that. Why do we only want to pay them $15 an hour? And in many instances, we don't do that. So you want to know why you don't have people who are there? Because you don't treasure them enough. Or we don't understand that they should be paid handsomely to take care of our loved ones. And so if you're paying $13 an hour with no benefits, what do you think you're going to get? If you're paying $15 an hour with no benefits, how many people do you think are going to be lined up to clean adults who can't clean themselves, to feed adults who can't feed themselves? What is wrong with us as a society? We know what's coming down the pike. Well, I know. And if you don't know, that's because you haven't given much thought to it. But if you're a baby boomer, you should be thinking about it. If you're fortunate enough that your family is going to take care of you, if you're one of the select few who thinks that your family is going to take you in the latter years of your life, well, you're a select person. You really are. spend some time in these facilities. And I'm sure people who are listening to me have. If you've got some years on you, then you've been there and you know it. Why are we not raising hell to make sure that those people who are there are compensated properly? Because if they have a shortage of people in those facilities now, what do you think is going to happen as more and more of us wind up there? This should be a priority conversation, but it's not. Where else are you hearing it? Well, that's just that loudmouth Earl again. Well, yeah, I got a loud mouth, but I know what I'm talking about should be a top subject and conversation with not only with congressmen and senators, but with state representatives, but with the president of the United States. It should be a top conversation with the legislature and others. But who's sounding the alarm? And why aren't others demanding that be addressed? It's coming. Make no mistake about it, it's coming. Now, I get it. It's not a romantic subject to talk about. You know, there's more concern about the fact that the dogs from Ukraine get a place to stay. This is the society that we live in. Well, did you see the poor dogs from Ukraine? They're having a tough go of it. Let's bring them to America and let's take care of the dogs from Ukraine. Oh, okay. You know what I'm saying is true. I'm not going to get many people to call on this because it's not talking about the Republicans or the conservatives or the Democrats. It's not talking about politics. But at the root of this is politics. If we want to talk about it, let's talk about it in its totality and the impacts of it. Man, you know, people can't get out of bed. They're in nursing homes, bed sores, infections. Not a romantic thing to talk about. You go to any of them, and they're all understaffed. And yet, even though they're understaffed, they've taken in all these patients. You know why? Because there's a price on each one of the patients' heads that are in those facilities. And there's nobody who's checking up to make sure that they don't overfill what they can handle. Listen, I'm appealing to you. You're 50 years old, you know, which is still got a ways to go before this becomes an issue with you. But if you're 50 years old, you got parents who are either there or will be there shortly. Because your life doesn't stop. Because you have your own family. And trying to deal with someone who's incapacitated is more than a notion. And maybe you can put your life on hold. Maybe you are fortunate enough and financially secure enough that you can put your life on hold to take care of your loved one. I'm telling you, you're the exception, not the rule. So then why? Why are we not focusing on this? And I know what I have to do, since there's not, you know, people who are listening who want to chime in on it. What I'm going to do is then bring in the people who should be having the conversation on a state and federal level. And we'll have that dialogue, and maybe then, if you hear it from the horse's mouth, it might carry more weight. But I'm not going to get up off of it. I'm going to talk about it again and again and again and again. Because really, you know, it's more important for many of us than all these other things we're talking about. Than who the next senator is going to be for the state of Wisconsin. You know, it's more important to me. It's more important to you and me than it is to, you know, somebody that's 20 years old. I got that. But Democrat or Republican should not matter. You don't die as a Democrat. And you don't die as a Republican. You die as a human being. So all the differences that we have in between really don't matter. Dignity matters. And as we age, dignity becomes as important as anything else. Doesn't matter how much money you have. That's going to happen to all of us. So we've got to take this seriously. You know, if you've watched your loved ones waste away and in their last years, you see it even though they're nonverbal. You see it through their eyes. They say the eyes are the soul of a person, and they are. And they can't communicate, but their eyes can, then you realize what it is I'm talking about. We've got to go to a break. Lynn, I see you. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. If you're just joining us, I'm talking about what is tragic. And if you spend any time in a rehabilitation center or a, I don't like the term old folks home, because that's beneath the dignity of human beings. And if you've been in many of those places, it's beneath the dignity of human beings what those people are faced with. And in my generation, many of us are, you know, a decade or so away from being there. And we've got to make a priority. And we should make it now. We should do it now for the people who are there now. I'm not talking about just because we'll soon be there. We need to be fighting for people who can't fight for themselves. Let's go to Lynn from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Lynn. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
I am well, thank goodness, because I am at that age. But my husband was in a long-term care facility in 2016. And he had fallen, and his artificial hip dislocated. And while he was in a brand new, probably multi-million dollar facility, they were so understaffed that he was supposed to have a shower on Tuesday and Saturday, and they, for a whole week, they didn't have the staffing to bathe him. I started caring for him. and they're always looking for certified nursing assistants, CNAs. But those people not only had to care for many patients, but they also had to staff the dining room.
Yes.
And when he needed to go into palliative and then hospice care, I cared for him at home. And I think the problem is it's a for-profit business, and they definitely make profits by not adequately staffing their facilities.
That's 100% correct, but they are regulated, and so somebody's not doing their jobs properly because, yeah, I get it, they're for profit, but there are human beings there. And so I've always railed on profit over human beings, right? There should never be a time when the profit should outstripe the human being. Would you agree with me?
Totally agree. They should maybe put a cap on profits.
Well, number one, I commend you for being strong enough to do what you did for your husband. Everybody can't do that. It takes a special person with special skills to be able to take care of someone in the latter years of their life. And so you're a very special person for having done that. But more people than not can't do that.
Well, correct. Physically, too, I handled a Hoyer lift all by myself and was able to put him into a sling by myself. And when the nurses came in, it was kind of funny. They asked where, you know, how much medical training I had. And I said, well, I watched Grey's Anatomy every Thursday night at 7 p.m. And that was my... That was a helpful medical training.
But it
was difficult.
You know, Lynn, you talked about CNAs. CNAs making $15 an hour. Come on.
I don't know if they make that.
If they make that. So there's been a push for $15 an hour for McDonald's. Right? Well, we got to pay the people for McDonald's $15 an hour livable wage. But CNAs, I'm not hearing any. Oh, well, you know, there's something wrong with the psyche of our nation. And so somebody has to bring those things out. And you know, I'm just a little voice. But the truth of the matter is, it starts with a little voice, right? I mean, we all know this is coming, right? People of your and my generation, this is coming. So who's planning for it, right?
Well, I'm planning not to go into a care facility.
No, I'm saying if you're blessed and fortunate enough that you don't go, and you've got family that's going to do that for you. What I'm saying is there are more people who don't have family who's going to do that for them than there are who do. And so that's why the society needs to be planning for this.
I totally agree.
You know.
I'm not sure I would ask my family to care for me.
No, I'm not going to. Ask my sons, you know, I've got a wife, but you don't even want to think about those things. You know what I mean, Lynn?
You
and I, we don't want to think about putting that burden on our loved ones. But that's why these facilities are there. And as you stated, a brand new multi-million-dollar facility. Do you know they're building warehouses for you and I and our generation as we speak? Multi-million-dollar palaces are being built, but nobody to man them, right?
That's right. And I tie that into integration, too. Several of the dining room staff were immigrants and spoke little or no English.
Right.
So,
well, because nobody else is going to do that kind of work for $12 an hour and no benefits.
That's correct.
Yeah. I mean, that's at the root of all of it, that we've got to get people to start mobilizing. Again, this is neither Democrat or Republican, black or white. You know, it's neither Christian nor Muslim. It's about humanity. And that's something that we all need to come together. If we can't come together on anything else, we're all going to die. And we want to make sure that it happens in a dignified manner. Lynn, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Tell somebody about us. We'll be right back. We just got through talking about the prescription drug cost, and there was just the news brief with Mitch McConnell, and you heard what he was saying.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want socialist
price control.
Yeah.
on the cost of drugs.
Yeah. So you don't want price controls put on the drugs. The American people can't afford the drugs. But your concern is you don't want socialist price. In essence, what he's saying is we don't want to help the American people. You know, it's not you we are concerned about. It is the corporation. Let's go to the phone lines. We got John. John, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call.
Hey, Earl. We've got a bigger problem than some of the things that you're mentioning, and that is the Supreme Court. I've stopped listening to NPR again because they were going to interview a guy from the Federalist Society about why the Supreme Court's doing what it's doing. We know why they're doing what they're doing. There are six justices, so-called justices, on the court, and they're Federalist Society members, past or present. The whole philosophy of the Federalist Society is to basically throw the country back throughout all social progress before probably the Gilded Age. Maybe even they'd like to go back to when, prior to the Civil War, when African Americans were 3/5 of a human being and, they had no rights. And, these guys are extremists. And unless we do something about the court, things like Social Security, for example, which I believe has already been through the Supreme Court once, they're going to reverse that because they don't care about anything. They're going to reverse anything that the people that have got the big money, they're going to reverse anything that those people don't like. They've already shown that they're willing to do it in terms of climate change with the EPA. They're willing to do it in terms of medical rights with reversal of Roe v. Wade. We now have no medical privacy rights, really, because if they can do that with women, they can do any kind of medical thing they want with men or with anybody. And we've got to do something about the Supreme Court. That's all. The only answer I can think of for it is to get enough senators into Democratic senators into place that they are going to be able to rebalance and expand the court.
So
and there are
So, John, I will say to you, John, that your premise is 100% accurate. There's no question whatsoever that the Federalist Society has total control. They've plotted this out for decades, and they finally gotten to a point where they will now be able to get what they've been bargaining for a long time. The real tragedy in this is that, you know, the average everyday citizen who supports conservative type views on things and wanted to see this is going to find out that they're going to suffer as well as everyone else. The Federalist Society did not include the average working stiff, right? And even though the average working stiff celebrates, the fact that the conservatives control the Supreme Court and they will be controlling it for a decade or more, the United States Supreme Court. Well, that's correct. But the only way and opportunity to fix that was to expand the court. And then you've got Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema who got in the way of that. The one opportunity that there was to put the brakes on this was stopped by Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema. And now generations will have to pay the price because of those two people.
Well, what we can do about that is, you know, get rid of people like Johnson and elect enough senators to make those two irrelevant. They're Republicans.
But John, do you know that doesn't happen in the vacuum? That doesn't happen overnight. We're talking a decade. Can you imagine the damage? Can you imagine the damage they're going to do in the next decade? As you talked about.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes. Yes. But the average person is struggling with life, right? They're trying
They're worried about so-called inflation.
Yes.
Which is really price gouging. They're worried about things that really don't make any difference to their everyday life because they've been convinced by the Republican Party that they throw fear of anybody that's different, fear of LGBTQ people, fear of the immigrants, black people, anybody that's different from the white
Anglo-Saxon
supremacists,
right?
Yeah, that we've got, and they're going to come out and vote in droves. The only help for it that we've got is for both the Democrats to come out and vote and get as many people possible voting with us, and we've got to make the rest of the public aware, the so-called independent voter, the people that either don't come out because it doesn't seem to affect them, or the people that just they've always, you know, checked the box labeled R, and that's all they're ever going to do. If we can make them aware of what the stakes are, and the other thing is we've got to get the young people involved because this is their future. You and I, we're not going to live to see the worst of climate change. You and I probably won't live to see the worst of the effects of the Supreme Court. But the kids, the younger people, kids like my grandson, kids like my son.
Yes.
These people are going to feel the full effects of all of this crap. And they're the ones that are also going to have to get out and vote.
So John,
we've got to do it now.
John, I don't disagree with one thing you had to say, because it is in fact the truth. And I know it's a truth that many people don't want to hear. You know, we don't want to hear this tough conversation, you know, because things are going good for me right now. And I don't know what they're talking about. I'm doing fine. I got money in my 401k and, you know, my house is paid for, and I've got a rainy day fund, and my children are doing all right. I got a new car, and, you know, and so, you know, I'm living in the suburb. And so what are they talking about? That doesn't impact or affect me. But they don't understand.
These are people that think that the money that they have, which is so small by comparison with the obscenely rich people that are really controlling things, they think their money can protect them from all this stuff too. And just, you know, just as if when you were a rich Jewish person in Germany in the 1930s, some of them probably thought their money could protect them too. And boy, did they find out differently.
Well,
you know, this is a serious problem, and we have essentially an oligarchical, fascist, religious, extremist Supreme Court. Until we do something about that. Well, yes.
Hey, know. John, thank you very much. Well thought out. Money's not life. Money is a part of life. It's not life. Yep. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much for what you had to add. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the last few minutes of today's Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Yeah, I want to thank everybody thus far who's participated in the show, and thank you who've taken the time out to listen. I'm always flattered that people think that I have something of importance to say. It is an honor. Every opportunity to come before an audience of people who somehow think that there's something of value in what you have to say. But I want to say this before we get out of here. An older woman in the city of Milwaukee, Ms. Shantia Lewis, has lost her seat and may wind up in jail because she somehow mistakenly, I shouldn't say mistakenly, but foolishly used the resources that were given to her for her campaign to put that money in her bank account. And now she's not only has she lost her seat, but she's going to be losing her freedom. And I don't know, Connor. You know, older people make $72,000 a year in Milwaukee, which is not a pauper's wage by any stretch of the imagination. Those are coveted positions. There are always a lot of people who run for them because it's just like once you become an alderperson, you are there for life. It's almost like being a congressman or a senator. Unless you do something that will eventually cause you to lose your position, like all former Alderwoman Shantia Lewis. I remember when she first came to office. And if you're an elected official, man, you know, I think humility should be the number one thing on your plate. Because when people, just like as I stated about being on the air, if people take the time to vote for you and they think that you are trustworthy, and again, as representative government, you are representing them, that you should be humble and say, man, I'm here because of the people. I'm not here because I'm the smartest person, you know, in the world. And nobody smarter than I am. And that's why these people voted for me. And that's why these people keep voting for me, because they know I'm this and I'm that. No, you should be humble. And if you approach it from that perspective, then your head doesn't get so big. Look, man, if I ever allowed myself to think more of myself than I should, and my head got bigger than the door, then I couldn't be, you know, enter into this studio in order to do the show. Because my ego would overtake me. But my feet are firmly planted on the ground. And I know that because I'm here today on these airwaves, tomorrow may be another day. And I've been around the radio business now long enough to know that today you're here, tomorrow you're gone. And so it's a privilege and an honor every second of every minute of every hour of every day to be doing radio. And there's somebody who's in a much better position, smarter, you know, brighter than I am, certainly more educated than I am, who could come in here and do this show. For heaven's sakes, I think that they can bring a trained monkey in here sometimes who can do a better job of this than I. So I'm never going to allow myself to think more of myself than I should. Politricksters should do the same. When you get to the point where your ego drives you, and you can't see yourself, right? I can see myself. And I don't see myself as anything special or anybody special. And so I'm never going to get into a point where I come in here with my head totally up in the air, walking like I'm, you know, Donald Trump, you know, with the best posture that can possibly be. And they say, oh, here he comes, and the coronation starts, and, you know, and then I walk in and I sit down, and all I think about is me. I think we got one last caller. We'll see who that is. Just put him on. You don't need to screen him. Just put him on. Who do we have?
Bob from Wisconsin East Coast.
All right. So what's going on? What do you say?
Well, good morning, Earl. I think it's really ironic that it's $50 billion going back to the richest of the rich. If that money was spent in the 50 poorest zip codes across the country, that money would go right straight up through the economy and right straight back to the richest.
There's
and
no
everyone would benefit. And everyone would benefit.
Yeah, yeah, but you know what? So the only way that would happen is if the people that we elect truly do represent the people, right? In a representative government, that's the only way that can possibly happen.
That, and if the richest of the rich really realize where their wealth comes from.
Well, why would they? Because there's so many people who are willing to bow to people who have the cash, right? And
well, that, but they themselves need to realize where their wealth comes from. They don't create it themselves. It's created by the consumer and the people that work for them.
I would say to you that you are absolutely correct. But, you know, who's going to make them believe that and think that? If you're Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, especially him, and you have your heaven on earth, right?
Yep.
Those people have what Christians constantly refer to as the pearly gates, streets paved with gold. They don't have to think about, when I die, I'm going to heaven. They've got heaven on earth. Based on
what they think they do.
Huh?
They think they do.
Yeah, based on what they believe heaven is, right? And a description of it is streets paved with gold and pearly gates. So, you know, if you've got everything you want on this earth financially and control over people, then you really have some power. And the power that you have is the power that the people gave you. Because the people aren't strong enough to realize that the power is really not in any individual. It's in themselves.
Right. It's in a collective society.
That's correct. And we've somehow lost that, right? And
well, we need to keep pounding it because an epiphany can come in these people when they realize what they really are.
Well,
and if they're really carrying their wealth for others, not just themselves.
Well, if you listen to me, you know that that's what I'm talking about every day. And and we're going to keep on talking about that because,
we
need the change, right? And the change has to come from conversation, and that's what we're going to do. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much for listening. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. Thank you, Connor. As always, my friend, I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Enjoy the weather. It's fleeting. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you on tomorrow.